Order! Order!
Are there any select committee reports?
While the Marine and Coastal Area Takatimuana Bill is finally off the order paper, the Māori Affairs Committee has been looking at another bill relating to Indigenous land rights. The Māori Purposes Bill amends several acts and removes Crown involvement in the administration of a private estate established in Hawke's Bay in 1936. Making a submission on that part of the bill, Rose Mohi gave some background on the estate, which was set up by her ancestor, Pukipuki Tangiora.
She spent the last 16 years of her life travelling with a lawyer and an interpreter to set her will. The will was all important. It's the kaupapa that our family live by. It tells us who we are and what we do in the future. But the interference started in 1943 with the transference of the responsibilities. The Crown came in and took the responsibilities away from the trustees and us.
Ms. Mohi explained that further.
Since 1943, Māori Affairs and then Te Puna Kōkiri have treated us, the descendants and the beneficiaries of Pukipuki Tangiora, I think in a very shabby way. Trustees have been thrust on us with poor to negligible qualifications for the positions they held.
Ms. Mohi welcomed the bill's removal of Crown interference in the estate.
It's got to happen now, in my generation. We can't just have a whole estate running and none of us knowing what's going on and not being involved.
Rose Mohi making a submission on the Māori Purposes Bill on Wednesday. Elsewhere, the Education and Science Committee received a briefing on autistic children and how national standards affects them. Speaking to the committee was Autism New Zealand's Chief Executive, Alison Malloy.
The big issue is that national standards for our children measure failure, not success. There are always the ends of the bell curve, and we moderate a program to take account of that. It's not a one-size-fits-all, and I think that's the biggest problem with national standards, is it's applying something that could work quite well for 70% of the children of New Zealand, but it's actually being applied to 100% in a way that's not helping the schools or the parents or the children themselves.
But Alison Malloy's research and policy analyst, Matt Frost, said that if national standards are the norm for New Zealand pupils, it should be no different for those with autism.
If this is part of the tapestry of education, then I think we do have an obligation to try and make it work. That's why Autism New Zealand wanted to work with the ministry. You cannot have a situation where kids, and particularly kids, I think, you know, with Asperger's syndrome, go through school and actually we get to 16, 17, and if people say, well, how was your national standards performance? And we say, well, actually, we didn't do it because it was all too hard. Well, we get to a point where actually we could say that about we won't do NCEA because it's all too hard. So I think there is a balancing act there.
Autism New Zealand's Matt Frost briefing the Education and Science Committee on Wednesday. Next day, the Primary Production Committee heard submissions on the Biosecurity Law Reform Bill, updating the country's border control system. Biosecurity expert Professor Roger Morris was not impressed with the bill.
New Zealand's export success over the last 100 years has depended heavily on grasping new opportunities in agriculture and capitalising on them. Our favourable biosecurity status has been an important factor in those past successes, and various of the changes proposed in this bill put our future potential in this respect at risk.
Professor Morris gave an example of risks that could arise from loose biosecurity laws.
I happen to be working on risk management strategies for a company in New Zealand which wants to begin in 2013 exporting pig cells and tissues around the world for use in treating human diseases. Now, this opportunity depends on a combination of Kiwi ingenuity, which has been very effective in developing this technology, and our favourable biosecurity status. But MAF, in its dealings with the pig industry, considers it basically of no national importance and that it deserves less protection than the dairy industry, based on a number of pieces of evidence, one of them being the fact that its willingness to allow pig meat containing live PRRS virus to be imported into New Zealand. I've previously called the 1993 Act the Bioinsecurity Act with good reason, and unfortunately, this bill fails to remove those insecurities that I feel.
Biosecurity expert Professor Roger Morris making a submission on the Biosecurity Law Reform Bill to the Primary Production Committee on Thursday. That was one of more than 15 committee meetings held this week. I'm Rhys Lyon, and this program is brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.